Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, How's Your Heart?
We now have 2 Chronicles 29:1-19, and it's got lots of tricky names in it, so bear with me, okay? I'm never great at these. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Adonijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, just as his ancestor David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east. He said to them, "Listen to me, Levites. Sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and carry out the filth from the holy place. For our ancestors have been unfaithful and have done what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the dwelling of the Lord and have turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and have not offered incense or made burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord came upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of horror, of astonishment, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. Our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons do not now be negligent. The Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence to minister to him and to be his ministers and make offerings to him." Then the Levites arose, and Mahath, son of Amashai, and Joel, son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merai, Kish, son of Abidai, and Azariah, son of Jelahiel. It's too early for this, I'm sorry. The Gershonites, son of the Zimmah, and Eden, son of Joah, and the sons of Elizaphiah, and Shimri and Jewel, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattiah, and of all the sons of Heman, Jewel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jedi. My dyslexia now is just going haywire. Shemaiah and Uziel. They gathered their brothers and sanctified themselves and went in as the king had commanded by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. The priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and they brought out all the unclean things that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took them and carried them out to the Wadi Kidron. They began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. Then for 8 days they sanctified the house of the Lord. On the 16th day, on the first month, they finished. Then they went inside to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering and its utensils, and the table for the rows of bread and all its utensils, all the utensils that King Ahaz repudiated during his reign when he was faithless. We have made ready and sanctified. See, they are in front of the altar of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So a few words that leapt out at me this morning was one of the state of your heart. How is your heart with God? And how are you feeling this morning? And in the New Testament, especially, there's this sense of peace with God. And if you think back to the Garden of Eden, there was this and the fall. So they were at peace with God and they ate the apple, they disobeyed him, and then that was torn apart, wasn't it? There was a creation and a decreation. And so often I feel like, if I'm honest, I'm not at peace with God. I'm chasing after something that I don't quite have a grasp of, because I want more of God. But often I think I go about it the wrong way. I try and get affirmation in things that I do, or attend things, or you end up falling into works, don't you? You're trying to seek this peace. You're trying to seek this reconciliation with this God who you know is there, and yet you don't often feel it. And I think what Paul is saying is that we're going beyond emotions here, is that we have a peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ, not just through our own efforts. And we've obtained this by grace. And that assurance that we actually have peace. Now, what does that peace feel like? And so often it's elusive, isn't it? But then in certain times of life, we might have grasped it. And sometimes it can be in the darkest or most desperate times that we feel like there's a helper. The Holy Spirit is present, that God is bigger than our own chasings, our own wanderings, our own restlessness. And I think a lot of people in this world are seeking peace, a stillness within themselves. There's a real restlessness or tiredness, because we're trying, we're toiling the land, we're running around here to there, trying to be fulfilled in so many different ways. Yet when have we last actually felt peace? So we have this fall, and then through Jesus, we have a new creation where he comes and allows us into the most holy place. So this idea of peace, like, how is your heart this morning? Are you at peace with God? Now, as I heard this story the other day of a Christian leader that went out to the revival that was happening in America in the student church there in the seminary. It was a part of a university campus, and there was a church there that had some students there. And the presence of God just filled that place. People just went there and just felt like they need to confess. And then there was a real sense of peace. This revival didn't come through lots of noise, lots of movement. It just came through a sense of peace. And actually, that's a really good way for God to come out. God knows what people need. And I think people need a peace, because we're in a very anxious state of being. But there's a story of this one Christian leader from the UK. He flew all the way out there to America, and he got there, and he just wanted to run into this chapel to get a sense of God, to chase after God. As he stepped out of his car and he was going towards it, he thought, I'm not at peace. I'm not right with God. And he had this deep conviction on his approach to the chapel that he wasn't right with God. He couldn't yet go into the temple. And so he went back to his car, and he said he prayed for 5 hours. He prayed for 5 hours. And then he got back out of his car and went in to meet with God. And so often, like, that is a picture, actually, that we need to start with confession, that, we've been trying and we haven't been getting it right. For some reason, we don't feel quite right within ourselves, in our heart. And actually, what is it that we've got to boast about? Paul says here that we are to boast in our sufferings, that, in our weakness, and yet God came for us, even though we're not perfect, even though we keep getting things wrong. He proves his love for us, that he died while we're still sinners. And so what have we got to boast in? So often I think, oh, I might be able to boast in a few things, like, but then when I really think about it, I can't, you know, I'm not always a great dad. I get things wrong. I can get annoyed at things. And as a church leader, what can I boast in that? And, you know, we're often very critical of ourselves. And, you know, there's so much more that could be done. Can I boast? There's a real restlessness in that role often as well. And so do I boast in my health? Not really. I don't think that's the thing. In my wealth? I don't know. And often I think as people get more and more successful, they actually can feel less fulfilled. Like there's still a restlessness there. What is it that you've got to boast in this morning? And if it's all the worldly stuff that I've been talking about, are you actually being true to yourself? Paul says here we are to boast in God, in what he has done for us, in what Jesus has done for us by dying, even though we were still wandering far from God, even though we weren't peaceful with him, even though we weren't right with him. And he even says that we were enemies. And that's quite a word. I often think I'm a friend of God because I'm a Christian. But actually, sometimes I feel like I can be the enemy. And it's good to start with confession and just keep on boasting in God, not our own efforts. And I think that whole like reconciliation, that confession, that way on our knees is how we gain peace with God, is to approach him through prayer. So we're going to be having a month of prayer starting on the 15th of June, running to the 16th of July. And it's just like 30 days where we are going to seek God together as a church. And there's going to be various ways to do that. We're going to have a chapel that's set up as a prayer room. And we're going to do 24 hours of prayer there. We're going to have prayer events, and prayer walking, other ways of worship and a daily rhythm, all these kind of things that we're kind of put together as opportunities for you to engage in one or all of it, but as a way to hear God's voice again, to allow your heart to be open to God again. And I have to admit, I need this as much as anyone, but I need to do this with people, to do this with the church. If I do this individually, it starts and falls. Whereas if I'm going to commit to this for a month with the church, and that would mean a lot to me. People can join in with that with me and with Fabian and everyone else. So how is your heart this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of reconciliation to you in the Old Testament and all the steps, the practical steps they took to do that. The cleansing of the temple. And Lord, then as we look to ourselves, Lord, what is it that we need to cleanse? What is it that we need to get rid of, stop doing, stop thinking about? And just to seek you. Lord, help us to open your scriptures, open our hearts, open our mind to what you have in store for us. Lord, would you give words of encouragement to us this today? Build us up, Lord. And thank you, God, that we are not called to be perfect in a sense that you have already done that for us, but we are called to strive after you so that we could be united with you, be more fully ourselves, and be perfect, but not in a sense often that we think of it. Lord, help us to love you even more today.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.